Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this article. It's under the banner of Elections. The headline reads, Carroll, Spencer win board seats. The only thing Piatt County District 2 residents knew going into Election Day was that they would get a new county board representative. With incumbent Al Manent deciding not to run for another term, the seat was eventually won by Republican newcomer Shannon Carroll in a close 1,473 to 1,336 vote over former Piatt County State's Attorney and Democrat Leonard Rummery. Carroll, a local farmer and president of the Piatt County Farm Bureau Board, said he was overwhelmed by the support he received on a campaign trail. All the people in the community and I saw out in public, either at the gas station or especially at the Monticello Home playoff games, letting me know I had their support. That really touched me, that so many not only were supporting me, but that they would take the time to let me know in person, he said. Since Election Day, Carroll has been attending Piatt County Board Committee meetings to get ready to take over the District 1 seat on December 1st. Rummery said he was pleased with his performance and the countywide voter turnout of nearly 64%, but added he has no plans to run for county board again in the future. I'm encouraged that so many people in Piatt County did their civic duty and voted. I'm also encouraged that my race was so close and I received so many crossover votes, he noted. Incumbent Republican Ray Spencer outpolled Democratic challenger Mary Lucille Hayes, 1,801 to 901 votes, to retain his District 2 seat. I was humbled in receiving the endorsement of so many of the good citizens of Piatt County, and will continue to represent them to the best of my ability, said Spencer. I'd like to thank the voters of the district for their confidence in me, he said. Hayes was also pleased with her campaign, especially in a Republican-heavy county, but is not sure she will be a repeat candidate. We'll see where we are in 2 years. I don't think it's important to have choices on the ballot, said Hayes, a University of Illinois employee and local newspaper columnist. Right now we have a one-party government in Piatt County. I don't think that's healthy, especially since at the county level all but two races were unopposed. Among those running unopposed on the local ballot were County Board District 3 Representative Randy Schumard, County Clerk Jennifer Harper, Circuit Clerk Seth E. Floyd, County Treasurer Debbie Marshall, and County Sheriff David W. Hunt, all ran as Republicans. This is under the banner of Calkins wins Illinois House seat. Illinois 101 District Representative-elect Dan Calkins, Republican of Decatur, hopes he can make a difference in Springfield over the next 6 years, the maximum amount of time he says he will serve in that role. He will begin the task in January as the replacement for retiring Bill Mitchell after defeating Democrat Jennifer McMillan on November 6th. Calkins captured about 70% of the vote in the five-county district with an unofficial vote total of 32,395 to 14,001 votes. The vote in Piatt County was 2,794 to 1,149 in favor of Calkins, who also won in his home county of Macon in 14,478 to 6,004. Calkins said he hopes to be a part of a coalition of new legislators dedicated to fixing the state's challenging problems. This shows that I have an expiration date, he said, of his self-imposed limit of 3 terms. It shows that I'm here to work, not just paddling for 20 years and getting by. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to be bipartisan. He said solving the state's financial crunch is the key to turning the state around. All of us have the same problems. Our state is in financial distress, and if we can come to some resolution on how to spend money we don't have, this state will turn around. We will have money for roads to fund programs. Calkins, a veteran of the U.S. Army, served on the Decatur City Council from 2005 to 2009 and is currently a trustee at Eastern Illinois University. Under the heading of Local Judges Elected in Close Races, The two races to replace the retired judges in 6th Judicial Circuit were a study of contrasts, with both Democratic candidates winning handily in Champaign County and both incumbent Republicans dominating in the circuit's 5 other counties, DeWitt, Douglas, Moultrie, Macon, and Piatt. After the final votes were counted late Tuesday night in Piatt County, the two Republicans emerged victorious. Judge Roger B. Weber defeated Ramona Sullivan, an assistant public defender, 70,569 to 65,714 for a position vacated by retired Judge Arnold Pluckman. "I'm just sitting here staring at the numbers," Sullivan said. "I was way ahead in Champaign and way behind everywhere else. I want to thank the voters. It has been an interesting night. I want to thank all the voters in the smaller counties who made up the difference after we were lagging in Champaign County," Weber said. "I am humbled and relieved." Weber was appointed by the Illinois Supreme Court to replace Blockman on May 10, 2016. Meanwhile, Judge Randy Rosenbaum, a longtime Champaign County public defender before being appointed in September 2016 to succeed retired Judge Harry Klim, defeated Urbana lawyer Chad Beckett, 70,664 to 65,019 for election to Clem's former seat. "I want to thank everybody in the Sixth Circuit," the Republican victor said. "This vote was an endorsement that I'm doing a good job. My opponent, Chad Beckett, is a great lawyer. I respect him, and he ran a good campaign." Also on the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of Citizen of the Year. And the headline reads, Tracy, humbled at honor. Many know Monticello attorney Bill Tracy for his 4 decades as a local attorney and partner in the Miller, Tracy, Braun, Funk, and Miller law firm. But his behind-the-scenes volunteer work with local organizations is what prompted organizers to name him the Piatt County Journal-Republican 2018 Citizen of the Year. In introducing him at the Monticello Chamber of Commerce annual banquet on November 8th, News Gazette publisher John Reed called Tracy a true asset to every organization for which he is involved, volunteering his time and expertise to countless not-for-profit organizations in our community. His dedication is unmatched. Tracy's resume includes serving as both director and president of the Piatt County Nursing Home Foundation since its inception. In addition to being a commissioner with the Piatt County Public Building Commission, also since it was formed. Apparently, when considering volunteer opportunities, he likes to get in on the ground floor, added Reed. Tracy also serves on the Kirby Medical Center Ethics Committee. He's on the Monticello Golf Association's Board of Directors. He's involved in the Monticello YMCA's Advisory Group. And is also in groups that include the local Rotary, Lions, and Knights of Columbus at the Ivesdale Council. After being handed the award at the banquet, Tracy noted that for someone who has little problem coming up with speeches in the courtroom, he was somewhat at a loss for words at that moment. A number of words come to mind. Of course, honored and flattered were a couple that jumped out at me right away, but they didn't really seem to fit the emotion of my feelings, he commented. So finally, after I took a look at the list of past honorees for this award, he said, the word that I was looking for finally jumped out at me. The word is humbled. I am humbled to be considered in the company of 46 or so people, past recipients, or organizations or groups who have been awarded the Citizen of the Year title before me, he added. And I'm also humbled to be singled out for this honor from all the other people in our community who could have been selected in my stead. That Tracy graduated from Beeman High School, St. Louis University, and Law School at Northwestern University. He and his wife of nearly 49 years have 3 children and 5 grandchildren. And this is under the heading of Honorary Achievement Award. Longtime Habitat for Humanity of Piatt County volunteer Dean Howater was named the 2018 Honorary Achievement Award winner. Howarder has helped organize firewood sales that have raised $150,000 in recent years for Habitat. His efforts in this area have included felling trees, hauling them to the storage location, taking care of the cutting, splitting, and staking duties, and ultimately delivering it to consumers from Decatur to Champaign and all points between, commented Reed. I would like to thank the rest of those who helped raise the money for Habitat. We have a fine group and board of directors and people who help with the firewood. There are a lot of them here tonight, said Howater in accepting the award. This is not a job that happens easily, but it takes a lot of people to get this job done, and we appreciate the help from everybody. A Kansas native who now calls Monticello his home, Howarder and his wife Linda have four children and several grandchildren. The featured speaker for the evening was former University of Illinois wrestling coach Mark Johnson, who recently retired as CEO of the Stevens Family YMCA. Johnson said he always wanted to be a coach, but always respected business people who took more financial risk than he did when they chose to run their own business. Johnson led the U of I grapplers to three Big Ten championships, had seven individual national champions, and his teams boasted 45 All-Americans during his 17 years that ended in 2009. He is enjoying retirement and trying to be the best grandfather he can be, but admitted he misses coaching. I don't remember the wins and losses. I remember the guys, added Johnson. And now turning to page A3, under the banner of Piatt County, we have this article headlined, Committee Endorses Winder for Maintenance Chief. Piatt County has a new maintenance supervisor, as long as interim supervisor Doug Winder is given the county board's blessing on November 14th. The Building and Grounds Committee last week recommended the hire with a $60,000 salary package, increasing it $5,000 to secure an agreement. Winder had worked under former supervisor Scott Stevenson until the latter's resignation on August 6th and has been the only county maintenance employee who is certified to work on most county systems, most notably HVAC ones. Whether that department will expand again into two certified maintenance employees was up for dispute at the November 7th committee meeting. I don't know where you're going to come up with the funds to pay this new person that you are proposing to hire, said County Board Chairman Al Manent, pointing out the $5,000 hike in its offer to Winder will stretch a proposed county budget for 2019 that has already seen $600,000 in adjustments to get it balanced. Committee Chair Randy Schumart thought there was still enough dedicated to salaries in the tentative budget to have a two-man staff, and that there isn't much of a choice anyway unless the county wants to start hiring outside contractors to perform more of its maintenance and repairs. We've always had two maintenance guys, said Schumard, adding, we've got to avoid burnout with Winder. You cannot take care of the maintenance with one guy. One cannot take care of the maintenance. Budgets have been revised, and you sat through that, Manette said to Schumard. Before you go forward and hire another person, you need to make sure there's money there to pay that person and their benefits. Winder confirmed it was difficult to take care of routine maintenance, plus emergencies that occur all on his own. We have to have another person, and it has to be a technical person. Things are getting further and further and further behind, he said at the committee session. Formal approval of the budget that covers the county's 2019 fiscal year that begins December 1st is expected for this week's November 14th county board meeting. Acknowledging the need to research the financial situation more extensively, the committee voted to advertise for a second certified maintenance employee, but to hold off on the actual hire until the budgetary situation is better known. Technically, the maintenance department has been at four people in the past, including part-timers to handle mowing, landscaping needs, and for housekeeping. The role of the landscaper has been expanded while the department is shorthanded, but it was pointed out he is not certified to work on mechanical systems on county properties. The county had advertised previously for the position, but had to at least turn them down. In re-advertising, they may also reach out to some of the qualified personnel who applied during that first round. This is under the heading of OSHA complaint. An odor in the courthouse caused by stale water leaking out of the heating system prompted a complaint to the Department of Occupational Safety and Health Administration. When installed about 30 years ago, the water-based chiller system relied on water being circulated consistently. A more automated approach in recent years makes it more periodic in order to save on energy costs, but it also means the possibility of water turning brackish. The hot water system previous to the automation would run year-round. When they added it to the building automation, It is run based on the outside air, so in the summertime it doesn't run. That saves a tremendous amount of money because we don't need it, said Winder. But what has happened is things have settled, particulates and that, so that when it starts up, they stick in those air vents and stick them open and spit it out. Particulates cause some valves to stick open in the attic, spilling water on insulation and making for the foul odor, he added. It has since been addressed with the tearing out of the affected insulation, vent replacements, and an improvised system that catches water runoff when needed. Manette said the work done by the county has prompted OSHA to close the case, pending additional requests by the complainant. Winder is also investigating an autofill system that would keep the water fresh, admitting the current method is outdated. That would also reduce the amount of air in the system, Winder said of an autofiller. Right now, what we have is a garden hose running from a spigot in the mechanical room up, and we have to manually do that, said Winder. He added that all three systems will need to be flushed, which takes about 7 hours each. The one that leaked has been flushed. Sheriff David Hunt asked if an inline filter system was worthy of consideration. Winder said it would help, but could be costly. In other business, Hunt informed the board that he spoke to Adams Memorial recently about installation of the Judge John P. Schunkweller Memorial Stone to be installed on the northeast corner of the lawn and hopes it will be in place soon. The committee also heard that there is still no money or earmarked for an extensive file server replacement plan, but that a fix of the county's older email system may be pursued. Four new compressors have been installed in the HVAC unit of the public safety building, that's the jail, in order to fix air conditioning issues that knocked out the system this fall after power surges hit the building. The cost for all four, including phase monitors to prevent future damages from power spikes, was about $20,000. An auxiliary DX cooling unit replacement for the IT room at the office building will be needed in order to keep county equipment operating smoothly. The unit is needed during cooler temperatures when the building-wide air conditioning does not run, as the IT servers can generate significant heat. After it hits 90 degrees, it can cook the equipment, said technology consultant Scott Davis. And they put up a new sign on the west side of the mental health center that'll be paid for by a donation. Also, on page A3, we have this under the banner of police, courts, and fire, and the headline reads, Cerro Gordo resident records suspected thief. The Piatt County Sheriff's Office is investigating the break-in of a vehicle that was caught on camera by the car owner. About 5 a.m. on November 7th, Kathy Howell said she observed a man with his feet hanging out of her car and began filming him with her cell phone. Howell shared the video on a local Community Watch Facebook page, to which many responded. I leave for work at 4:30 a.m. I turned on my porch light, came out, and realized my door was open. When my eyes adjusted, I realized there were legs hanging out the door. He had to have just got there because he'd only gotten into the center of the console and the dome light was still on. Piatt County Sheriff's Deputy Tom Apperson said it wasn't the only vehicle break-in that day. Deputies took additional reports later in the morning of multiple vehicles being entered and items being stolen from those vehicles. These vehicular burglaries remain under investigation, and as of November 12th, no arrests have been made. Anyone with information about these vehicular burglaries are urged to contact me at the Piatt County Sheriff's Office at 217-762-5761. Apperson encourages everyone to report suspicious activity and to remain vigilant. The sooner suspicious activity is reported, the greater the likelihood that officers can respond and investigate the activity while it is happening, as opposed to after it has occurred, he said. We further encourage everyone to lock their vehicle at all times when the vehicle is not attended, regardless of the size of your community or the time of day or night, in town or in rural areas. And now turning to page A5 under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Alan Rankin, loving son, husband, and father, left this earth Monday, November 5th, 2018, at home in Monticello. There will be no formal service. Visitation was held on Sunday, November 11th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. from 3 to 5 p.m., there was a short gathering at Three Ravens, 108 South Charter Street in Monticello, a place Alan and Leslie spent many happy hours. Burial will be at a later date. Lewis Luke Wilmert, 93, of Monticello, passed away at 10 p.m. Thursday, November 8, 2018, at the B-Man Healthcare Center. Funeral services were at 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, November 14, 2018, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home, Monticello, with Pastor Michael Damery officiating. Visitation was held from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the service on Wednesday at the funeral home. Interment was in Monticello Township Cemetery with military graveside rites. And now, returning to the news and views on page A4, under the banner of Piatt County, we have this article headlined, Partnership with Carl Helps Geriatric Care at Nursing Home. In a year filled with plenty of crises, one of the first to face Scott Porter when he became Piatt County Nursing Home Administrator was the lack of geriatric coverage for his residents. A year later, that problem has been alleviated thanks to a collaborative arrangement with the Carl Geriatric Medicine Group, which opened an office in the connected Piatt County office building on October the 26th. That is exactly a year after Porter was named interim director at the nursing home, replacing a fired Gary Coulter. The interim tag was removed from Porter's title on December 12th. One of the first crises I faced was I got alerted that Dr. Naren Mandan was not going to see any more patients at the nursing home, said Porter, noting the facility was already short-staffed when it came to outside physicians who are needed to make assessments and diagnoses on patients. Other physicians who had provided those services were also phasing out, but continued long enough for Porter and Carl to connect up. You just see this attrition with physicians. Doctors just don't want to do this anymore, he said, regarding medical rounds made by physicians at the Monticello-based nursing home. The nursing home administrator said Carl actually contacted him earlier this year and talks began. A doctor's office in the PCOB is now manned by Dr. Amy U. Ballard and nurse practitioners Deb Fraunfelter and Raquel Agata. The office is not manned every hour of every day, but there is a pretty strong presence compared to what we have been seeing, said Porter. The doctor's office is also on site, making care more accessible than the prior practice that featured medical personnel making trips from area clinics and hospitals. We couldn't be more pleased because Dr. U. Ballard comes to us from Mayo Clinic. She has a background in geriatrics, and we feel like her knowledge and experience is going to be a tremendous asset for the residents of Piatt County. So we couldn't be happier, Porter said. And this is under the heading of financial update. Fiscal issues have also been a challenge in Porter's first year, including prior failures to bill co-pays for Medicare A rehab patients at the nursing home. Payroll has been trimmed, and an in-house therapy unit was shut down earlier this year in favor of going back to an outside contractor in order to help the bottom line. Kelly's accounting in Monticello was brought into the mix in August of 2017 to replace the in-house accounting method and will give its next update at the November 21st committee session. The nursing home did receive a qualified opinion on the recently completed audit of the 2017 fiscal year, which did not surprise Kelly Finette, the owner of Kelly's Accounting. Every year the audit is qualified, she said, noting that it means that some of the information provided is limited or that nationally recommended accounting practices are not being followed to the letter. That latter is common in smaller entities due to staffing costs. In a brief overview of the audit on November 8th, Porter said the main finding was a large number of write-offs among the nursing home's receivables. Additional information on that issue may be discussed at a future committee meeting. And this is under the heading of Residents/Family Survey. Patients and their families seem happy with the care the nursing home provides, according to the 2018 resident survey. On a scale of 1 to 10, a total of 77% of those surveyed gave the nursing home a rating of 8 or above. When asked, would you recommend our nursing home to others, 95% responded yes. Porter said the numbers were similar to last year's, with the main difference being more write-in comments in 2018. In other business, the committee accepted a bid of $29,382 from Sage City Construction to replace the damaged mansard-slash-gambrel-style portion of the roof. A possible tearing out of the decorative architecture was also investigated, but deemed to be most costly than the repair. Also on page A4, we have this reminder. It's headlined Early Deadline for November 21st newspaper. Due to the Thanksgiving holiday, the Journal Republican will observe early deadlines for the week of November 21st edition. Deadlines will be for display advertising, 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 15th. Classifieds, 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 15th. And news and sports, 12 p.m. Thursday, November 16th. And now from page A2, we have this article headlined Family Reading Night at Allerton. The Allerton Public Library will hold a family reading night at the Allerton Park and Retreat Center Mansion at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, November 20th. The Thanksgiving-themed poem, Over the River and Through the Woods by Lydia Marie Child, will be read, and there will be hands-on activities available for those attending. Registration is required and can be made online at www.monticellolibrary.org/calendar .html or on the library's Facebook page. That sounds like the easier way to go. The library has also announced its holiday reading and rewards program, which began on November 1st and runs through December 9th, and it's open to children 3 years old through fifth grade. Participants read books, magazines, comics, and graphic novels, and listen to books on CD. Independent readers keep track of minutes, while those under 6 years of age count the number of books read. Reading logs are turned in between December 9th and December 21st for stockings stuffed with goodies. Registration is required by November 19th at MonticelloLibrary.org. Additional information is available at 217-762-4676. And under the heading of Levy Approved, the Allerton Public Library Board approved its tax levy on November 7th for 2018, taxable in 2019. The requested total of $274,625 is about 5% more than last year's $161,582. The total projects a similar tax rate as last year. Library Director Lisa Winters also told board members that the Bank of Hawaii has released cash from the living trust of library benefactor Max Hensey, but that the state of Hawaii is still reviewing stocks that will be part of the final distribution. Hensey's $3 million donation helped fund construction of the new library building. His estate was reopened 2 years ago after additional proceeds were found. A majority of the disbursements are to be split between the library and a home once owned by famed writer and journalist H.L. Mencken. The amount the local facility would receive is not yet known, but when the issue came up 2 years ago, it was estimated at around $70,000. Finally for today, we have this article. It's under the banner of holidays, and the headline reads, Lights Trip for Seniors on December 1st, the annual bus trip taking Monticello area senior citizens to tour Christmas lights and a live nativity is scheduled for Saturday, December 1st. Buses will pick up participants from Tapman Village at 5 p.m., followed by Maple Point Assisted Living and the Villas of Hollybrook. Other seniors who wish to ride the bus should RSVP by calling Kathleen Foster at 217-521-5660 and meet at Maple Point at 5:15 on December 1st. The bus will take seniors to the live nativity at Christ Lutheran Church in Monticello. They will also be served hot chocolate and tour local Christmas decorations. Treat bags will be given to participants. Registration forms will be available at the participating care centers or by contacting Foster. This has been the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.